All right, Romans chapter number 10. For the Bible study this evening, I remind you that in this chapter, Paul demonstrates that unbelieving Israel was responsible for the condition that they are in. As we get to chapter 11, you're going to see a description of their condition. As, for an example, he talks about their fall, their diminishing, being cast away. God had done His part. God had been faithful in dealing with them, but they had rejected the Lord, and they were responsible. We saw in verse 1 to 13 of this chapter how that the righteousness which is of faith was available and offered to them. But, as we'll see this evening in verse 14 to 21, it was willfully rejected by them. And so we're going to begin our study in verse 14, but let's begin reading in verse 12. And let's read verse 12 down to verse 15, and our comments will begin in our study this evening in verse 14 and 15. The Bible said, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all." Now that's in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll notice back in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and it doesn't have to be verbal, as we talked about. It's the mouth of the heart. From the heart, to confess is to say the same thing, to agree with God that you're the sinner and He's the Savior. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So here He said, for the same Lord over all. The Lord Jesus is Lord over all. He wasn't just a man. He was God manifest in the flesh. He humbled Himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. But He's exalted now above all, given a name which is above every name, as it says in Philippians 2, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that He's Lord to the glory of the Father. And so it says, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Of course, calling upon Him from the heart, a believing heart. Again, you don't have to verbally call upon Him with the literal mouth, but you call upon Him from the heart, believing on Him as your Savior. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a quote actually from Joel chapter 2, verse 32. I remind you all through Romans 9, 10, and 11, because he's dealing with Israel in the context, he quotes again and again and again from Old Testament Scripture and makes application of it in what he's dealing with here in the context. Verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? Now this is one of the hard, what we're about to read is one of the hard sayings in Scripture. One of those things that's so difficult to accept, it's very hard to understand. It says, how beautiful are the feet. Now that's just difficult for me. How God could say that about anybody's feet, you know? I mean, I've never seen beautiful feet, but this is talking about spiritually, from God's perspective, and it's got to do with carrying the gospel. I'm kidding around in case you didn't notice. Okay. That was a poor attempt at humor. That's why I don't attempt it very much, okay? So it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, in these verses, verse 14 and 15, Paul proves that Israel could have called on the name of the Lord because God did indeed send preachers to them with a message of peace. He quotes in verse 15 from Isaiah 52:7, the Word of God says in Isaiah 52:7, this is a prophesied message concerning Israel, concerning the kingdom. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. See, when the kingdom's established in Israel, it'll be a kingdom of righteousness and peace. There'll finally be peace in Israel. In fact, the whole world. That bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, So this is a message in particular for Jerusalem, for Israel. Thy God reigneth. And there'll be peace when God's on the throne there in Jerusalem reigning. You notice that a verse like that, and there's another verse in Isaiah that does this one. It's quoted in the New Testament. But that defines gospel as being good tidings. Tidings being news, you know, good news. The gospel is good news. It says there several times, good tidings. And here, when he quotes it, he says the gospel. And there are various messages of good news in the Bible. But there's only one message of good news for this present age. One gospel, the gospel of Christ, is being preached in this present age. But the Lord, He did send preachers to Israel. He sent them the greatest preacher of all, His own Son. Hold a marker there and flip back to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And let me read a little bit to you what Peter's saying to the household of Cornelius. That's where he's at in the context. And I'm not going to deal with all that stuff. We've talked through that passage before. But I just want to show you some things Peter says when he's preaching to them. In Acts chapter 10, verse 36. Acts 10, 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel. And see, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they went to the Jews only. It was going to open up worldwide, but it began with the Jews only. In the beginning chapters of Acts, it's still to the Jews only. And then it goes to the Jew first, and then by the time Acts is over, it's to all men alike. But God sent a message that was prophesied. It had to do with what He promised them to Israel. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And that's the only way they're going to have peace. Hey, all that turmoil over there, it's never going to stop. All that turmoil going over right now over there, it's never going to stop permanently until the Lord comes. It'll stop temporarily when the Antichrist comes, that false covenant that He'll break. But then when the Lord comes, then there will be peace. It's by Jesus Christ. He says He is Lord of all. This matches what Paul was saying in Romans 10. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. He went about doing good because He is good. And the Bible says concerning man, there's none that doeth good. Man in himself is not good, proving Jesus was not just a man, but God manifest in the flesh, because He went about doing good because He is good. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And all those works were signs regarding the message that was being preached of that kingdom promised to Israel. And so God sent the greatest preacher of all. He sent His own Son to him. And, of course, Christ trained and sent His 12 apostles to Israel with the gospel, the kingdom, had to do with peace that would come to them. In John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said to the apostles, He said, as My Father hath sent Me, so send I you. The Father sent His Son into Israel. He came unto His own. His own received Him not, but He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And He called and trained apostles that He sent. When Jesus went back to heaven, He sent them to the nation to preach to them. And of course, Israel rejected and crucified Christ, but they were given an opportunity to repent. In the early chapters of Acts, they were given a renewed offer of the kingdom, but they persisted in that rejection of the Lord and His Word. Look at Acts 10, verse 39. Acts 10, 39. Peter said, and we, in reference to the apostles, we are witnesses of all things which He did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Again and again, Peter indicts the nation for murder. They were responsible. They killed their Messiah, but God raised Him from the dead. Now they must repent and receive Him as their Lord and King. So he's again and again in the book of Acts, Peter's calling attention to the fact they were responsible for what they had done. It said, verse 40, whom God raised up the third day and showed Him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. They were eyewitnesses that he was indeed risen bodily from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is. And by the way, the people there is Israel. As they begin their ministry in early Acts, it's to the Jews. Okay. It's opened up later to the Gentiles, but in the beginning there, it's to the people of Israel. And he said, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness. To him there, of course, the Lord Jesus, that through his name, whosoever believed him shall receive remission of sins. I'm just pointing out, God did send preachers. He says here, how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, he sent preachers to that nation. He sent his own son. He sent Christ, and Christ sent his apostles, and they, Israel as a nation, they rejected the Son, but they in the book of Acts, they continue to reject the witness of the Holy Ghost, who was witnessing to the nation through the apostles. They continue to reject willfully as a nation of people. Not some of them did believe, but as a nation, they were rejecting. And so, but even after that, as God ushered in this present dispensation and called Paul and revealed the gospel of Christ to him and all that, an amazing long suffering for years during that transition period in Acts, he sends Paul, who's the apostle to the Gentiles, but he still sends him for a time to the Jew first. I mean, he's given them every opportunity. They didn't deserve the renewed offer of the kingdom in the beginning of Acts. They definitely didn't deserve Paul's ministry to them. But God sent preachers to them. And Paul, when he goes to the Jew first in the book of Acts, he's not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's been postponed. It'll be preached again in the future tribulation period. But Paul preached the gospel of Christ. You know what he calls it? He said in Ephesians 6:15, he said, having your feet shod with the preparation, he said, of the gospel of peace. He's talking about the gospel of Christ. The gospel of the kingdom had to do with peace, but that was about a nation, right? But the gospel of Christ is to any individual sinner that they can have peace with God. See? It's a gospel of peace, and Paul was sent with that message. And so you see here, he said, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That applies to various messages of good news in the Bible. The gospel of the kingdom was a gospel of peace. The gospel of the grace of God in this age is a gospel of peace. And so God did send His preachers to that people. So we're trying to look at this in its context and get the right doctrinal interpretation. He's definitely dealing with Israel here, but there are certainly applications for us. Think about it tonight. Do you have beautiful feet? Now, please don't show us if you think you do, because I'm not talking about your physical feet. I'm talking about spiritually. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace? Does God think you have, would God say you have beautiful feet? He says you have beautiful feet if you're carrying His message to the lost. Ephesians 6 is talking about the whole armor of God. And part of that armor is feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're always ready to take the gospel to everybody. God will give you the opportunity. You're carrying the gospel with you. You're always ready to preach. Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm ready to preach. And are we ready? Do we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Because, see, every Christian that faithfully carries the gospel message has beautiful feet in the eyes of God. And every Christian, every single Christian should be a preacher. I believe in women preachers. But not like you see on TV. I'm talking about a preacher in the sense of giving the gospel. Every Christian should be giving the gospel to the lost. I'm not talking about everybody being a preacher in the sense of standing behind a pulpit and preaching sermons, but if a lady at the grocery store, she's going to check out the groceries and she gives a gospel tract to the cashier, you're being a preacher. You're giving the gospel. Every one of us can give the gospel. Somehow, some way, you know, and God gives us opportunities, and we're responsible for being faithful what God's given us to do. It's not a competition to see who can give the gospel more or whatever. Your opportunities aren't the same as mine, and mine aren't the same as yours. We just all need to be faithful in what God gives us to do. And looking real quick in John 13, let me show you just this application. We who are saved have been washed. We're washed completely from our sins. We have the washing of regeneration, Paul said. We've been washed, but practically speaking, we need to keep our feet clean. Now, I'm not going to read all this passage. We actually read some of this in our scripture reading last Sunday. But when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, He's teaching them some spiritual lessons. One of those lessons has to do with humility. There's also another application in regards to keeping your feet clean. And just notice verse 10. We won't read all of it for time's sake. Jesus saith to him, to Peter, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you're clean but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you're not all clean. But if you're washed in Christ, you're washed every whit, but you still need to wash your feet. In other words, and the washing comes by, as Paul said in Ephesians 5, the washing of water by the word. The psalmist said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We need to keep our feet clean as far as our daily walk. Now, we've been washed. We're washed every whit. We've been washed in Christ, but we have a responsibility to keep our feet clean. And when we walk after the flesh and we walk after the things of this world, we got dirty feet. And I guarantee you, if you're busy walking after the flesh and the things of this world, you're not carrying the gospel. Carnal Christians don't witness. You've got to be spiritually minded. You've got to be right with God. And if you are right with God and you're walking in the Spirit, you are going to be mindful of the lost around you, and you're going to be faithful to give the gospel. When you got clean feet, you got beautiful feet. You're carrying the gospel. If you're trying to give the gospel with dirty feet, that's a hindrance. We can show you examples of Paul's ministry being so powerful because of the power of the Word of God, but also because of his testimony. And they saw the changed life in him. And it backed up the message he was giving them. And so we need to have clean feet. We need to have beautiful feet. We need to be carrying the gospel with us every day. Now, it's good to have some organized opportunities to go out and knock on doors and all that. My friend, you ought to always be ready to give the gospel when you have opportunity. Always. We all fail in that. I include myself. I'm preaching myself as much as anybody. But let's keep striving. Let's keep pressing toward the mark. Let's let those failed opportunities be fewer and fewer. Let's take advantage of every opportunity God gives us, because we only have a limited time to get the gospel out before the Lord comes. We don't have forever to get the gospel out to the lost. We need to do it. And so before salvation, our feet, and I'm not going to look at all the passages that teach this, but I can show you verses on this stuff. But before we were saved, our feet walked the dark path of disobedience. But now that we're saved, our feet ought to be walking down the bright path of faith and obedience to God. Paul talked about their feet were swift to shed blood in Romans 3, talking about the wicked. And you go back to Proverbs, and it talks about their feet being swift to do evil and so on. But now that we're saved, our feet ought to be swift to do right. Taking the gospel with us in our daily life. That's so important that we all be a witness in our daily life as God gives us opportunity. And notice, by the way, the order here in Romans 10. There's an order presented back in Romans 10 in verse 14 and 15. He kind of starts it from the reverse. How are they going to call? He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But notice the questions. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So notice the order and how sinners come to call upon the Lord for salvation. First of all, taking it in reverse order, God sends preachers. Now, he's faithful to do that. He's faithful to do that. He has done that. Somebody said, pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. And they take that passage in Matthew 9, but that has a certain context to it. And I understand what people are trying to say with that. But the fact of the matter is, he has sent his laborers. He's already done it. He has clearly sent all believers to be ambassadors for Christ. The problem is we're not faithful in our part. See, God sends preachers, but then the preacher's got to carry the gospel to lost sinners. And then as we do that, sinners are going to hear the gospel. Not every sinner is going to respond. Some are going to reject. That's what Paul's dealing with here in the context. Israel had the opportunity, but many of them rejected it. And you're going to have to realize that there are going to be people who say no to the gospel. But you got to keep going anyway. Sinners hear the gospel. Some will believe the gospel when they hear it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Some will believe the gospel, and then by faith they'll call upon the Lord for salvation. You see, and that's how that thing goes. But God has done His part in sending the preachers. He certainly has. Look in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, all right, we who are saved are in Christ. When we trusted Christ, we're baptized by one Spirit in the one body. We are in Christ. He's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. This matter of a gospel of peace. We who are at war with God, enemies of God, are now have peace with God. We've been reconciled. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God has fixed it so that any sinner, no matter who they are, what they've done, where they've been, what they were doing while they were there, any sinner in this present age that will hear the gospel and believe it can be saved, because God has fixed it so that that could take place, because Christ bore our sins. He bore all of them and took away our sins. And so now any sinner has the opportunity to be saved. And he said, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's our commission. It's been committed unto us. That's a great responsibility. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Well, if you're in Christ, you now have a job to do for Christ. Ambassador is a representative that gives a message. We're representing our King, and we're giving His message in this lost world, and we need to be faithful in this. And ambassadors are always called home before war is declared, by the way. And that's what the rapture is. God gets His ambassadors out of here before He brings His wrath on the world. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. If God is going to beseech sinners to be saved, He's going to do it by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. We're here in His stead representing Him. What a responsibility. And that's for who? Just Paul? Or Silas? Or Timothy? Or just pastors today, missionaries? No, any man in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now he has a job to do for Christ. He said, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Verse 21 is not on the screen there, but it goes on to say, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The reason why people go to hell today is because they're not believing the gospel. God has already paid for the sin of the world and fixed it so that anybody could be reconciled to Him. It's not automatic. It's only applied to them if they believe the message. But how in the world are they going to hear the message if we don't take it to them? God has done His part in sending preachers. The problem is so many of His people are not doing their part to take the gospel to the lost. We have to take it to the lost. How can sinners hear the gospel, believe, and call upon the Lord if we're not given the gospel? You see? So God uses His people. And every believer has that responsibility. I mean, how thankful we ought to be for those who shared the gospel with us. Aren't you glad somebody shared it with you and prayed for you? And well, then we need to turn around and be a witness ourselves to everybody that we can be a witness to in our as we walk through this world. May it be with clean feet and beautiful feet, carrying the gospel, right? All right, verse 16 to 18, Romans 10. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's Isaiah 53:1. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. And That's from Psalm 19, verse 4. Now, Israel, as a nation, rejected the Word of God. They rejected the gospel of the kingdom. It was prophesied that the Messiah would be rejected by His people. In Isaiah 53, it's a suffering Messiah presented there. Lord, who hath believed our report? It was prophesied that many would not believe the message. And so, now, in this context of Paul's ministry, they're also rejecting the gospel of Christ. He said they've heard, but they've not all obeyed the gospel. Now, what does that mean, obey? People get nervous about that. So, how do you obey the gospel? I thought it wasn't of works, and it's not of works. It's by grace through faith. Well, what does that mean? How do you obey the gospel of Christ? You obey the gospel of Christ by believing it. Paul said in Romans 16, he said, the obedience of faith. See, right here in this very verse, he said, they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath what? Believed our report. The gospel of Christ says, believe on Christ and be saved. He died for you, was buried, and rose again. Believe on Him and be saved. You obey the gospel when you trust Christ as your Savior. If you try to add anything to it, you're not obeying the gospel. Now, in verse 18, he begins to anticipate and answer objections. We see him do this all through the book of Romans. But I say, have they not heard? He's beginning to anticipate some kind of excuse making from some Jews, and so he's going to answer that. And they heard the Word of God. He proves that they heard the Word of God, and therefore they could have had faith in the message, because the gospel was going out to the whole world. He's showing them God did send the preachers. They have heard. Okay? Now look at verse 17, such a key verse. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now that is a key verse on faith. See, I say this often, I'm going to keep saying it. I want you to get this. A lot of people don't get this. They think faith is just believing. But that's not so. Everybody believes something, but not everybody has faith and walks by faith. Faith is believing the Word of God. You can believe God's going to do this, and you can believe God's going to do that, and you can believe, but if He didn't say it, that's not faith. You believe what He said. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, both salvation and spiritual growth are dependent on the Word of God. People can't be saved if they don't hear the Word of God. And Christians can't grow if they don't hear the Word of God. And that's why we're dedicated here in this ministry to giving the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, and he says it applies to all preachers, preach the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to just preach the gospel as it's written in the Scripture. And those that believe it, if they're going to grow in the faith, they need to keep hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1, you don't have to turn there unless you'd like, but Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. Here's how it happens. This is how you get saved. After that you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, you might have heard it through a gospel tract reading it. You get the point. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, verbally hear somebody vocalize, but you're getting the Word of God. That's the bottom line. He said, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So people can't believe the gospel if they're not given the gospel. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. And so we need to keep giving the gospel. I think more people would be getting saved today if more Christians were giving the gospel. Doesn't that make sense? It's our responsibility. And so we give the gospel, and people believe the gospel, they get saved, and guess what? You get saved by believing the Word of God, and then you need to continue to grow by the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Ephesians 4:15 said, speaking the truth in love. The truth. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him, the Lord Jesus, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You want to know how to increase your faith? Get more in the Scripture. The more you learn the Bible and believe the Bible, the stronger you are in the faith. You walk by faith when you're obedient to the Word of God. So your walk of faith is based on understanding the Scripture. I can't go up to a lake and say, I believe God's going to let me walk on the water today. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. I mean, even the grain of a mustard seed, I can do the impossible. And I step out, I'm not going to walk on the water. Because God never told me to walk on the water. Peter could do it because God said he could do it. I'm just saying, you've got to base your life on what God said to you. So you got to get the Word of God in general, but then you better rightly divide the Word of truth, make sure you understand His plan for today, because if you try to hijack some promises that God gave to the nation of Israel, it's not going to work for you. There's great healing promises. People get all discouraged and disappointed because they claim them, and it doesn't work. You want to know why it doesn't work? Because God didn't give those promises to us. See? You got to know, we don't have lesser promises than Israel. We have greater promises. Let's make sure we know what our promises are and believe them and walk by them. All right, let's finish tonight with verse 19 to 21 here. But I say, did not Israel know? In other words, I think what he means by this is, did Israel not understand what they heard? He's proven they've heard. Well, did they not know what they heard? Did they not understand what they were hearing? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Now, many think Paul's referring to the Gentiles here in verse 19. But how can nations, the Gentiles are nations, how can nations be called a foolish nation, singular? That won't work. I understand God did use the Gentiles to provoke Israel. Look in chapter 11, and we'll get to this. But chapter 11, verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So yeah, he used the Gentiles to provoke them. But that's not what he's talking about here in Romans 10, 19. Because before he began to use the Gentiles to provoke Israel, you know what he was doing? He was provoking unbelieving Israel with the little flock. Who is this foolish nation here he's referring to? The Bible tells you in Matthew 21:43, Jesus speaking to the unbelieving Jewish leaders, said, therefore I say unto you, okay? The leaders in Israel that were rejecting him, he said, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now, who would that be? That's not the body of Christ. That wasn't even revealed in this context. That came later. What is the nation bringing forth the fruits of the kingdom? Well, the Bible interprets itself. Look at Luke 12:32. Jesus said to those that believe the gospel of the kingdom, that his little flock of believing Israel, fear not, little flock. See, he was come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There were few that did believe. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And didn't he say to the 12, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel? So that's the foolish nation that he's referring to. See, he quoted in Romans 10:9. He quoted from Deuteronomy 32:21. And Moses wasn't talking about, in that verse, about Gentiles provoking Israel to jealousy and so on. This is a prophecy that has to do with this believing remnant in Israel. And they were considered no people and a foolish nation by Israel. In other words, unbelieving Israel rejected Jesus as the Christ. They rejected that kingdom church, that little flock of called out believing Israel, called out from apostate Israel. And that church is different from the church of this age, wherein there's neither Jew nor Greek, but one new man. But Israel as a nation, They looked at that believing remnant there of Israel and they despised them. They thought, you're no people and you're a foolish nation. I mean, think about it. They were very small in comparison to the whole nation. And so they were made up primarily of common people. Come on. The 12 princes were, most of them were fishermen. Unlearned and ignorant. And Jesus called them, is going to make them kings in the kingdom. See, unbelieving Israel despised that. But God loves to take the base things and the foolish things and the weak things and get glory in Himself by using that. And so that's who He's talking about here in the context. Now, God poured out His Spirit on them in early Acts as they preached to Israel, and they were bringing forth the fruits of the kingdom, that little flock. Now, let's read the final two verses. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Gainsaying there, that word gainsaying means contradicting and opposing and denying. Now, Paul's not referring to the Gentiles in these verses either. Okay? Think about this and get one last place and we'll wrap this up. Isaiah chapter 65, real quick. I don't have it on the screen. So just grab that real quick, because that's where he's quoting from, Isaiah 65. Try to wrap this up here. Now listen, Christ sent the little flock to preach to the very ones that had crucified Him and that had wanted nothing to do with Him. He said, I was found of them that sought me not. Well, they weren't seeking Him, but He was still sending preachers to them. And he sent that little flock to the very ones that crucified Him, wanted nothing to do with Him, and they stubbornly persisted in their rejection of Him. Isaiah 65, which he's quoting, is about Israel, not Gentiles. Isaiah 65, verse 1, I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I've spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. See, unbelieving Israel looked at the little flock and said, you're not even a people. But actually, unbelieving Israel were the ones who were not a people. Right. Lo am I, Hosea said, not my people. Okay, now that's some deep stuff you can get into. I'm trying to keep it a little bit surface here. Let me read on. He says this. He said, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. Come up to self-righteous, unbelieving Israel. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it's written before me. I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemy upon the hills. Therefore I measure their former work into their bosom, and on and on. So he's talking about unbelieving Israel there. Now listen, that little flock was sent to them. Isaiah is very bold, saying, I was found of them that sought me not. They had rejected, but still the Lord is being made manifest to them through that little flock, that foolish people, that foolish nation, as unbelieving Israel considered that little flock to be. And you know what? Paul himself was one of those that had rejected the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, that had rejected Jesus as the Christ. He was not seeking after the Lord. He was in religious zeal, but not according to knowledge. And you know the story about Paul's conversion, but he was saved by exceeding abundant grace when Christ appeared to him and revealed to him another gospel, the gospel of Christ. And so Paul said he didn't get his gospel by man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And so Paul was a part of that group, and he was sent, and God's amazing long-suffering, he was sent to get a remnant out of Israel before God set Israel aside as a nation. Look in chapter 11. We're wrapping it up. Let me read a few verses in the chapter 11 before we're done. I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, now look at it, which He foreknew. God foreknew those that would believe, you see. And so the believing Jews, they were not cast away. He said, watch ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, talking about Elijah. He said, don't you know what the Scripture says about Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, now look, that's very important, at this present time, this was written during the book of Acts period, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So there was a remnant of the little flock that did believe the gospel of the kingdom, but then there's another remnant that's according to the election of grace, and they're the ones that believed the gospel of Christ when Paul was going to the Jew first, and that remnant of Jews were put in the body of Christ. Said, there's a remnant according to the election of grace, and if by grace, then is it no more of works. See, remember, in chapter 10, verse 5, he said, Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. See, no, it's the righteousness of faith, and it's by the grace of God. Paul's message was the message of grace. He said, if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Is that not clear? Otherwise, work is no more work. Okay? Now, Paul's message was the message of grace, that sinners could be saved without any works whatsoever, justified from all things by which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. And it was by the righteousness of Christ. It was not of any... We don't have to prove our faith by our works. We don't have to do anything but simply believe the gospel. And Paul was going to the Jew first with that message, the gospel of Christ, and there was a remnant that were believing that and being put into the body of Christ. So Israel fell in Acts 7 when they stoned Stephen, who preached to them filled with the Holy Ghost, but there was a transition involved that ended in Acts 28. See, Acts 28, Paul's ministry is not over in Acts 28. He has much ministry after that. So why did God end the Acts of the Apostles at Acts 28? Because that's when the transition ended. You see, and the purpose of Acts is to show the fall and diminishing of Israel. That's its purpose. So during that transition, and Paul writes this in that transition, there was still a remnant that God was getting out of Israel before He finally set them aside in blindness as a nation. And that will explain a whole lot to you about some things Paul did in the book of Acts. That was kind of unusual to us when we look at it. All these very Jewish things he was going about doing. Well, he was doing that as he was trying to get a remnant out of Israel, as he was going to the Jew first. But see, Paul didn't go to the Jew first after Acts. He went to all men alike. And we're to go to all men alike because in this age now, hey, after that transition was over, there's no more advantage to the Jew. It's to all, to everyone alike. And so you got to understand that issue of this remnant. We'll say more about it next time. But you get the point here. God was provoking them. He was using that little flock. And then that little flock went to the unbelieving nation in the book of Acts. And God was bold and sending them. And then Paul himself gets saved. And he goes, and yet, God said, all day long I stretched forth my hands to a disobedient, gainsaying people. Israel as a people, disobedient and gainsaying. And Paul knew all about that because, you know, as he was going about his ministry, those people were persecuting him and fighting against him. Now, let's finish with a little application. Think about this, my friend. This is amazing to me. That first of all, God's long-suffering with Israel, that He kept giving them opportunity and giving them every opportunity possible for them to believe. And then think about Paul and what he was dealing with from this people. They were disobedient and gainsaying. They were causing him so much trouble. But what did he say? He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. How quick we give up on people. Somebody rejects the gospel one time and we want to put them on the shelf and say, well, I ain't talking to them anymore. God is long-suffering. And we need to be long-suffering. Don't give up on people. If they still have breath in their lungs, keep working on them. Keep talking to them. Keep praying for them. Keep giving them the gospel. Don't quit on people. Paul kept going to those Jews all those years. And that's a good lesson for us. We ought to have a birth. We shouldn't have a... if all we do is treat people good who treat us good, that's not much Christianity. When we can love our enemies and be good to those who are not good to us, that's the real thing. If Paul had a heart for them and prayed for them and kept preaching to them, even though they were a disobedient and gainsaying people. And you can apply that to Christians who are not living right. You say, well, they don't get right, I'm just forget that. No, don't forget that. Keep praying for them. Keep trying to help them. Don't give up on people so quick. I'm glad God doesn't give up on us. Let's not give up on others. Father, thank you.